May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is Father's Day, and I know most fathers or granddads do the school run. Now, you may have heard the story about the kid who came home one afternoon when granddad wasn't well, and so grandmom took them to school. And he reported to granddad, he said, "Granddad, you know, we took the very same route. But today, there were no fools, no imbeciles, no idiots on the road." I had my fair dislike of some drivers, and in my day, I would call them Philistines. And one day, my son said, "Dad, what is a Philistine?" And I said, "Not what, who. A Philistine is an inhabitant, a resident of Philistia." That settled the debate. You've heard it all, friends. You've heard it from the world's most wonderful and influential leaders over many years. Fear is concealed under daring. You've heard people say courage is not the absence of fear, but triumph over fear. People have often said to us, "You must face your giants." And it has often been said that fear has its own use, but cowardice says nothing. And so what are we doing here this morning? We're dealing with fear. I read a most beautiful and a serene description of the Sea of Galilee and its surroundings that somehow can take one on a very idyllic kind of trip and carry you off from the ugliness of this world to a place of comfort, albeit only to be violently thrown back into the sudden storms of this beautiful sea and life. And so it has often been said and described that the Sea of Galilee is a shiny jewel in the northern part of Israel. More of a lake than a sea, about 13 miles in length and just about 7 at its widest. It is surrounded by many hills and beautiful scenery. And in the main source of income for the people around this sea or lake, for the fisher folk, it was fishing from this very sea. But it was also a place of leisure and a place of pleasure and a place of beauty often visited by tourists. Because it is a place of relative calm and a place of peace and tranquility. And believe it or not, it was considered the headquarters of the carpenter and the itinerant preacher of Jerusalem, Jesus himself. It was at this sea that he ministered. It was here that he performed so many of his miracles. It was at this place that he toiled and he enjoyed the hospitality of the fisher folk of the local villages. It was here that Jesus called his band of brothers to become his disciples at first and later his apostles. And it was at this place that he, on this specific occasion, was seeking some peace and he wanted to take a deserved break. And so he ordered a boat and they drifted off with his disciples for some time away, and for some rest. And so the scripture would want us to believe that the rest was short-lived, and it was abruptly disrupted by a violent storm, which was not unusual for this particular place, for the area. A sea surrounded by hills and a strong current, colliding with warm air, and you can expect an upset, and you can expect a dramatic storm. And then it says in scripture that in that sudden storm, Jesus did an astounding thing, which can serve as counsel for us in the light of our own devastation and our own pain that we're trying to make sense of in this world, in this very day. And so we are reminded that in the course of life, there are many things that arise that cause us to fear. There are giants who are hostile to us and to those and the things that we hold dear. There are storms that often threaten to overwhelm us. And for each of us, these are different. They vary from person to person, and so does the intensity of our fear. Some are afraid to drive in city traffic, believe it or not. Others dread public speaking. Others are terrified that they may be diagnosed with a terminal illness and then have to deal with it. Some fear being alone. Others worry and fret about the economic situation in our country and the possibility that they may become unemployed or that they may have to face an abusive spouse. These are the realities of life. Others must fight against the giants of addiction. And others yet must face the machines of governmental indifference and corporate cruelty. There are many dangers in the world. And we are told that it is okay to fear these, because fear is a natural reaction to things that poses a threat, as long as it does not result in us, dear friends, operating in a total state of paralysis. As long as it does not cause paralysis. This kind of fear can prevent us, dear friends, we are told, from dealing with our threats and destroy not just our bodies, but our hearts and our minds and even our very souls. Now this is what was happening at the time when the Philistines declared war on Israel during the reign of King Saul. They came with a champion, the giant Goliath of Gath, who was huge, well-armed, well-armored, and who challenged the Israelites and said, "Send someone to fight me, and whoever win this single battle would have won the war, and we will subject ourselves to you." And thus he, Goliath, did, say scripture, for 40 days. Each of these 40 days, he would challenge the Israelites, and each of these 40 days, the Israelites will flee away at the sight of this giant. They were all afraid, and none would go forth to do battle, except a young little boy called David, the youngest of his family, the one that was relegated to tend to his father's sheep whilst his brothers was doing business and was fighting and serving in the army of King Saul. So when David heard about the challenge of this giant, he was shocked that no one was prepared to go and fight him. And he volunteered to go and to vanquish, this is the words used, him, this giant. But he, David, had a hard time convincing not just Saul, but everyone else to allow him to do this. Because unto them, he was this little boy, too small, too inexperienced to even consider this. And we know that from scripture, David convinced them that he can prevail, that he has killed lions and bears who have threatened his father's sheep, and that he can, with God's help, defeat Goliath and the Philistines. And now we know that David did. He defeated Goliath not with the weapons of war that a soldier would be equipped with, like a sword and a helmet and a coat of mail. But he did so with the instruments to his disposal. Instruments that he used as a simple shepherd, a sling, a few stones, and we are told in the name of God he did, and he was victorious in his onslaught on this giant. And so we are simply reminded, you and me this morning, that when we practice the ways of God, when we obey his command, when we trust upon his name, we can overcome our enemies and our fears. We can overcome our natural fear and do what must be done with what is at our disposal, with the weaponry that has been entrusted unto us. And be it just our simple faith and trust in God, so be it. All that is needed is that you and I gain a perspective on the dangers that we are in, and that we somehow understand that God is able to help, and that he will help, and that he has the power over wind and the waves, and that he can still the storm and calm the troubled waters. As long as you and I have an understanding and a trust and a faith that he, our God, can triumph, friends, in the face of overwhelming odds, because he is the Lord of hosts. He is the God who is God over all. We are reminded, friends, that we must see the solution or the opportunity rather than being fixated upon the obstacle, the challenge, or the problem. if we are to overcome the odds stacked against us, and if we are to overcome the fears that so often prevent us from acting on behalf of God. We are reminded this morning that it is a marvelous and a liberating thing to let go and to let God do what God can do. That we ought to trust God to make things come out right instead of us worrying about how we are going to make it happen. So often when we can't, let God act on His will instead of us worrying about how we are going to deal with it and trying to fix it our way and then failing dismally so. I think what most of us really fear, and maybe I should only speak for myself, is not being in control. You and I, we fear forces that are greater than we are and that we would not be able to do anything about them. That was the situation in Israel at the time of David and Goliath. And it was certainly the case in the boat with the disciples in the middle of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The Israelites, when they saw Goliath, and the disciples, when they saw the wind and the waters, felt powerless. They felt overwhelmed and unable to help themselves, unable to overcome the danger that they found themselves in. We fear sometimes what we do not know. We fear what we cannot control. And that within itself is strange, because we so often, you and I, offer advice unto others. And on occasion we would say to people, and just pray the prayer of serendipity. Yes, what is that? It is saying, God, give me the courage to change the things that I can. And give me the grace to accept what I cannot. And give me the wisdom to know the difference. So there are things that we can change. And we've got the means and the faith and the trust in God to do so. And then there are other things that we simply can't, and that we need to entrust unto God so that He can do His will. And you and I need the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Because, friends, this would lead us right back to God, because we would know that what comes our way is but by grace, not of our doing. It will remind us that God is the only source of strength to overcome fear, and that His love, the source of our hope and courage to continue through life with all its challenges and its storms. David knew where his strength came from. He knew who was in charge, who could help him. And I quote David in his Psalms when he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no ill, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." And again he says in another psalm, "The Lord is my light, He is my salvation. So whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid of? Because He is the stronghold of my life." That's where we should put our trust and faith. And so when we grow afraid, when we doubt our own ability to take the next step and move forward in faith, when we feel that we are perishing, we are told this morning and we are reminded that God is fully able to help us, as He did David, to slay Goliath despite the overwhelming odds. God will save us. He will save us. And He will calm the storms that threaten our lives as you and I crisscross the sea of life with all its challenges and all its storms and all its difficulties. And all its viruses, its waves, its waters, and its thunders, God will be there for and with us. Our God, your God, my God, our awe-inspiring and awesome God can overcome devastating odds. The simplest requirement on each one of us, dear friends, is that we must practice what God seeks to teach us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit as we obey His will day by day. That is what is required of us. And so when we struggle, as we so often do, with the storms and challenges of life, maybe we ought to remember the Sea of Galilee as a place of leisure, pleasure, beauty, a place of calm and peace, tranquility, because of the presence of Him who was in the center of that storm and who calmed the very storm. And maybe if you and I practice a little more patience and wait upon God, rather than just seeking immediate gratification, we will be given the strength, the love, the hope, and the courage so that you and I too can prevail like did David and the disciples. And that we can do so even in the midst of storms and against overwhelming odds. Because the word says patience and trust in God, prayer and meditation and worship, time together, fellowship, partaking in the gifts of God, being with one another, singing hymns, saying prayers, reading scripture, will help to prepare us for the trials of life out there. And so here we come to be comforted and to be equipped so that we are ready for the word that awaits us in the world out there. It will center us, you and I, in the loving heart of our living God and will provide the much needed anchor that will keep us steadfast and sure on a rock which cannot be moved, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love, even whilst the billows roll. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.